It's official. Pope Francis has used his new version of the prayer of our Lord and Savior. We call it the Our Father, also known as the Lord's Prayer. It is the most sacred prayer in Christianity. When the disciples asked our Lord, "How do we pray?" Christ gave us the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. And if you watch my podcast, my channel, I usually begin every single podcast and we pray the Our Father together, usually in Latin. And I get pushback on that. Why are you praying in Latin? Who understands Latin? And I'm going to talk about the importance of Latin, Greek, Aramaic, the three languages posted on the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ when he died for our sins, because it directly relates to today's topic, and that is new translations introducing confusion, even error, perhaps even heresy. Pope Francis has changed officially the Italian version, went into effect yesterday. I'm going to run the clip here on Twitter, and then we'll pray. I'm going to do something a little different. Instead of doing Latin today, we're going to pray the Our Father in Greek. But here's the clip from Pope Francis using the new prayer. And I'm going to show you exactly what he changes in the Our Father. Actually, I'll do it before I run the clip so you can hear it. What he does is, you know, we say at the end, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Francis's new version, as if the version of Christ our Lord, second person of the Trinity, isn't good enough, says, "Do not abandon us to temptation." And the original Greek does not say that. It is not a proper translation of the Our Father. So we'll get into that. Now here's the clip of Pope Francis using this new version. People are calling it revised. No. A pope can't revise. He's the vicar of Christ. You can't revise what the King, Jesus Christ, gave us. It's not your authority. All right, here we go. Oh, that's not it. How do I get this on here? I don't want that. I want that. Here we go.
Salvatore formati al suo divino insegnamento, possiamo dire: Padre nostro, che sei in cielo, sia santificato il tuo nome, venga il tuo regno, sia fatta la tua volontà, come in cielo, così in terra. Lasciati oggi il nostro pane quotidiano, e rimetti a noi i nostri debiti, come anche noi rimettiamo ai nostri debitori, e non abbandonarci alla tentazione,
All right, so that's it right there. And you, so the new prayer is, "Do not abandon us to temptation." That's the new Pope Francis version. Not at all the Greek. In fact, you can see the Greek word on the screen. It means to carry in, to lead into, to bring into. It does not mean abandon. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that. And in my layman's opinion, I'm not a cardinal. I'm not a church father. Like I said, I'm just a dad with a webcam right here. But I just don't think it's the role of the Pope, the vicar of Christ, to revise the most sacred prayer of the Master. You're the vicar of Christ. You're not Christ. That means you're the vice you stand in for. Like, we have a president and we have a vice president. That vice and vicar come from the same Latin word. One who can stand in the place of. And you can't just rewrite prayers. Now, we're going to open today. Usually we begin with the Our Father. I give you this card and I give you the Latin, Pater Noster, qui es in caelis. Today, I'm going to give you the Greek. And you're going to have to bear with me. There's going to be some Greek speakers on here who are going to think I butchered it. I studied Greek in college, but primarily classical Greek, not the Koine Greek, certainly not liturgical Byzantine Greek. So my pronunciation is going to be probably not so great, but I wanted to pray the original Greek Our Father. Now, probably our Lord gave this in Aramaic. But the scripture that we have from the Gospels is in Greek, so we'll pray it together in the Greek. Let us pray. Pater Hemon, hoen tois uranois, hagias theto to onemos su, el theto he basileia su, genetheto to thelema su, hos en uranoi kai epiges, ton aton hemon ton epiusion, dos hemen semeron, kai aphes hemen ta ophelamata hemon, hos kai hemes aphekamen tois opheletais hemon, kai me eis engenikais hemos eis perusimon, alo rusai hemos apo tu poneru. Amen. All right, that's the Our Father in Greek. And I'm sorry I made mistakes. All right, so basically what's going on in the background? Why do we need to revise and change prayers? Now, this goes to the very heart of Vatican II, Sacrosanctum Concilium. I'm going to get some criticism for this. But the whole idea that the liturgy needs to be updated, modernized, and enculturated leads to these problems. In fact, as soon as you introduce street language, vernaculars, you're going to have to change the liturgy every 20 to 50 years. It's constantly going to be need to be updated and revised because languages change. Now, Latin is a dead language. That's what's wonderful about it. Greek itself is hardened. Hebrew and Aramaic have hardened. They're not flowing. They're not changing. So, great examples. Wow, that's a really cool hammer. 100 years ago, if you said that, they would say, well, was the hammer left outside during winter? Why is the hammer cool? That doesn't make sense, right? This is how our language changed. And we see this already in the Novus Ordo. You might remember that it used to be, the Lord be with you and also with you. Now, the Latin is et cum spiritu tuo. But they said, you know, that's kind of archaic. Let's update it for modern man, and we'll say, and also with you. Like someone says, God bless you. God bless you too. You too. And also with you. Now, that was changed. Another one you might remember in the Novus Ordo in English, it used to say, how did it say it? That in the Nicene Creed, that Christ is one in being with the Father, which is not the same as homoousion in the Greek. So, fortunately, they changed it to consubstantial, which is derived from the Latin of the Nicene Creed. Good job. That's great. But do you see how you have to update? And they're going to continue to update. And we see in Italian that Pope Francis is leading the update. Now, the theology here is kind of confusing because let's ask the obvious question. Does God set you up to fall into temptation? Is the prayer, the Our Father, is it saying that God could possibly lead you into temptation? Like God's like, I think if Joe, if he went into a bar, he might get drunk. I'm going to lead him into the bar. And so when we say, lead us not into temptation, are we begging God and saying, please don't set us up, God, to make us fall? Don't trick us into doing a sin. Is that what the Lord's Prayer is saying? No, of course not. That's not what lead us not into temptation means. Now, unfortunately, when you change the liturgy, as Pope Francis says, and here's what he changed it to: do not abandon us to temptation. In a way, by changing the language, you are granting that the old meaning was wrong or confusing. You're saying, well, lead us not into temptation is a faulty way of saying it. And as soon as you say that, you're condemning almost 2,000 years of prayer and liturgical language. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. What we do is we clarify and explain the language. Let me give you another example. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the Mother of God. Someone might say, oh my goodness, you believe that this Jewish woman who conceived by the Holy Ghost when she was probably a mid to late teenager, you believe that she is the mother of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? She's the mother of the divine essence? This is paganism. This makes her into a goddess. You should not say Mother of God. That's so confusing. It's so bad. We Catholics don't change the language in the dogma because there might be a confusion. What we do is we explain it. You see, modernism is the error, according to St. Pius X, that constantly wants theology a la mode. Not with scoop of ice cream, but in the most modern expression. What the modernists say is, we're not really changing the essence of Christianity. We're just changing the mode, the delivery, the packaging of it. But what happens is when you do that, you actually do begin to change the essence and the dogma. This is why traditional Catholics, traditionalists, and I count myself as one of them, we say that we must be so careful in taking the faith of our grandparents and handing the Catholic faith on to our children and our grandchildren. We have to be so careful that not one piece is broken, not one piece is lost, and nothing is added. We handle it with gloves and with protection. It is the most sacred thing that we pass down. So when you get someone that comes along and says, well, let's update this, let's change this, let's update that, you're not just risking a change. Changes do actually occur. And I've said before, one of the great reasons that we have the Latin Mass, people sometimes think, you like Latin Mass just because you like Latin. No, we like the Latin Mass because the Latin is a force field around the doctrine and the liturgy of the Holy Sacrifice. It protects it. See, Pope Francis or Pope Francis II or Pope Francis III or John Paul III or whoever could come in the future, they can change the English prayers, the Spanish prayers, the Portuguese prayers, the Chinese prayers, on and on and on. But see, when you attend the Latin Mass, there is never a danger that you're suddenly going to get a new Our Father. It's the same Our Father that Pope Pius X was saying. It's the same Our Father that the Little Flower was saying, Maximilian Kolbe was saying, St. Robert Bellarmine, Pope Pius V. It's the same Our Father that Thomas Aquinas and Bonaventure said at their Mass, word for word, letter for letter. Now, we need to get into the theology here. Do not abandon us to temptation is the new version of Pope Francis. Now, what's ironic about this is the objection to lead us not into temptation, which is the actual Greek. Here's the Greek word. If you say that that version of the Our Father implies that God would set you up for a fall or for a salvation, well, doesn't the new one also kind of imply, using the same logic, wait, are you saying that God does abandon us to temptation? You see, just by changing the words and getting rid of the lead us not into, but now saying do not abandon us, are you applying that perhaps God would abandon us? Just as it might be implied that God would lead us in temptation. Both of them are false and heretical, by the way. God would not do either one. But by changing the words, which has no precedent in Latin, and no precedent in the original Greek. This is translation out of thin air by Pope Francis. Now, is it heretical? I don't want to go there and say the Pope is heretical. If you watch my podcast, you've seen that I'm always very careful about that. Is it concerning for me? Yes, it is. I wouldn't say it. If I lived in Italy, well, I would go to the Latin Mass only, or Divine Liturgy in Greek. But if I were in a group in Italy and they passed out prayer cards and this is the prayer, I wouldn't say it. Because If you read old theology manuals, Catholic manuals, there's heresy outright, and then there's something that they call smacks of heresy or offends pious ears. To me, this offends pious ears. Why change the prayer of our Lord? Why change it? Now, someone might say, well, what if they decide, okay, well, we're going to go into the Latin Mass and we're going to say, you have to change it in the Latin Mass. Well, no, I wouldn't go with that either. And this just shows that, well, let me say this. I also get a lot of questions from people saying, hey, Marshall, love what you're saying. I kind of feel like you hammer the Latin Mass thing a little too hard. Can you lighten up on that? This is one reason why I talk about it so often. Because once you accept that Novus Ordo principle, there is no end. Once you open up that gate and the livestock leave, you got to somehow put them all back in there. Now, the Pope has changed this phrase in the Our Father in the Italian, but what stops him from changing other things as well? What if he says, well, this phrase could be confusing. Let's dumb it down to say this. And see, what happens is over time, you're eroding the tradition. You're eroding the words. Words matter. Words mean something. This is why I say, find a traditional Latin Mass. Latin, technically, Latin, it's on the cross, so it's a sacred word, a sacred language. But God could have chosen another one. But Latin, as the language of the empire, is universal, and it is dead. So when Thomas Aquinas said the Latin Mass, I went to Mass today, when he said that Latin Mass, and he said that Roman canon, he said it word for word, syllable for syllable, letter for letter, as what I heard today in 2021. Zero slippage. No changes. That's what I want. That's what we should all want. Well, Taylor, I don't really know Latin. It's no, look, the Mass is not there to download information into your brain. The Mass is there as a propitiatory sacrifice, the one sacrifice of Christ to the Father, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, to be re-presented in our presence to glorify God, to forgive sins, and for us to witness and be participating in that eternal offering, that eternal sacrifice. That's what the Mass is. When you start to think of the Mass as the priest is there doing something and giving a PowerPoint presentation to me out in the pews, then guess what you want to do? Well, the priest shouldn't be facing towards the altar to the east. The priest should be facing the people. Let's put the altar out and have the priest talk to people over the altar. You see, once you begin to understand liturgy in the Eucharist as something the priest is downloading or presenting to you like a PowerPoint presentation, you got to have all English. You got to have the priest facing the people. And then here's the worst part. All those people, they go to Mass 52 times a year plus holy days of obligation. They are cultivated year after year, and so was the priest cultivated year after year, habituated to think this Mass is directed to me, to us in the pews. And so if I'm not getting anything out of it, I'm not going to come. As a matter of fact, the Protestants present to the audience a lot better than any Catholic Novus Ordo could ever do. And that's why some Catholics leave the Catholic Church and go to the Protestant Church. Their drum kits are better. Their guitars are better tuned. They use 2021 music instead of 1969, 1975 music. And their programs and all their stuff directed to the audience is better. But if you don't if you understand Sunday worship, the Mass, liturgy, the Eucharist, as not something that the priest is downloading or presenting to you, but as an offering and an oblation and a sacrifice to Almighty God, it can be in Aramaic, it can be in Greek, it can be in Latin. In the Latin Mass, when the priest says the canon, the Roman canon, the anaphora, he whispers it. He doesn't even say it out loud. He whispers it in Latin because it is so holy and sacred, you don't need to hear it. He's not talking to you. He's talking to God. You're not meant to hear it. Sometimes I hear people that go to the Latin Mass, they need microphones up there. I couldn't hear anything he was saying. And the proper response with a smile, not being judgmental, is say, he's not talking to us. He's talking to God. It is theocentric, that is centered on God. You could even say it's theotelic, oriented. The goal is God, not us. Not us. This is why I'm always saying, try to find a traditional Latin Mass. It's not just about the Latin. It's about the entire essence and orientation of what the sacrifice is, the Eucharistic sacrifice. Do not abandon us to temptation. The original version is, lead us not into temptation. And the word literally, if you look it up in a dictionary, it means lead to, into, or carry. Now, here's the word right here. That prefix, all right, it looks to you like an E, an I, and then kind of like an O with a little tail on it. That's actually a sigma in lowercase. E-I-S. Ice. That means in Greek, into. It literally means into. That's what that word, that prefix means. So if you look at the, for example, let me show you the Latin. I'm going to put the normal card up. I didn't have this ready. So you're looking, the Pater Noster is the first paragraph. And if you look at the very last line, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, et means and, ne means not, nos means us, we, inducas in tentationem means in temptation. So the word we're looking at here that Pope Francis doesn't like, that he changes, inducas. All right, in, guess what in means, the prefix, in, into. Inducas here is where we get the word duke. So what's a duke? He's a leader. That's what duke means in Latin. We have, in your house, you have air ducts. What do air ducts do? They lead air throughout your house. That's what a duct does. All right. So inducas means literally lead into. So, and lead us not into temptation. And that's exact. It's the Latin is reproducing the Greek word exactly, literally. So the Latin and the Greek correspond right on top of each other. Now, let's handle the objection. The objection is, well, this makes it sound like God might lead us or set us up into temptation. And we have to ask ourselves, well, if the Latin, the original Latin and the original Greek say this, is Christ teaching us an error, or do we need to change the way we're understanding it? My fear with the Pope Francis' new translation in Italian is that he is implying, it's implicit, it's not explicit, but it's implicit that what we have prayed in Greek and Latin for 2,000 years is wrong or misleading. And that just can't be. It can't be that Thomas Aquinas was praying the Lord's Prayer wrong. It can't be that every Mass from in Latin from Pope Damasus up until today was wrong, saying the wrong prayer, the wrong word. Right? It's inducas, induce. Right? If you induce a labor, right, you get the labor started. You lead into it. Inducas. What does this mean? Why does our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tell us, sinful humans, disciples of Jesus Christ, why is he asking us to pray and lead us not into temptation? Of course, God tempts nobody. The devil tempts people. God doesn't tempt people. So what does "and lead us not into temptation" means? It means that there is a test, there is a trial, and we know that God does test us and he does try us. We all know that that's the case. You read the Bible, and that's the whole story of the Old Testament of Israel. He leads us into situations where he always provides the grace. Remember, St. Paul says he never, ever gives you anything that you can't get out of when it comes to sin. You can never say that the circumstances were so bad that I had to commit this sin. What we are saying is, Lord, I'm weak. Do not prevent me from going into these places where I would be overcome. And that's orthodox. That makes sense. You know, sometimes I read the stories of the church fathers and especially the martyrs. And you read about their torture, skinned alive, tortured with hot prongs, roasted alive, shot with arrows over and over, placed into dark prisons, sores, illness. And I think in these moments, I just don't know if that happened today, if I would be able to sustain and stay true to Jesus Christ. And that is when our heart repeats the word of Jesus, lead us not into temptation. We're not saying God is the tempter and that he's trying to get us to do evil. What we're doing is he's teaching us to be humble. Remember, and I think the counter example here is St. Peter. Remember at the Last Supper, Peter said, "Oh, I'll never leave you, Jesus. I'll never, ever. I'm with you all the way." And he says, "Peter, you will deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Before tomorrow morning, before 5 a.m. tomorrow, you'll deny me 3 times. What Peter should have said is, "Lord, lead me not into temptation. Do not let me get into these situations." God tries us, but we have to say, "Lord, don't, please be gentle with me. Be gentle with me. I forgive those who trespass against me. I forgive my debtors. Please forgive me. And Lord, be gentle with me." Now, we have to also believe that even if we were called to have red pokers, hot pokers put in our eyes, skinned alive, roasted, that God would give us the grace. Think of St. Lawrence. They burned him on a barbecue grill. And at a certain point, he said, "Flip me over, I'm done on this side." He made a dad joke while he's getting roasted. That shows that God gives grace even in those moments. But I think all of us who are disciples of Christ say, "Yeah, I know God would do that, but Lord, please don't test me as far as St. Lawrence. Lead us not into temptation. Don't push us to the very edge." And that's what the prayer is. And that's why we pray it every single Sunday. Ideally, when you wake up, you should kneel at your bed. You should say a morning offering, 3 Hail Marys for holy purity. You should say the Our Father to start the day off. If you're not saying the Our Father every day, you're just doing it. You're doing Christianity wrong. You need to say the Our Father at least in the morning and at least in the evening. If you're praying the rosary, you're saying the Our Father at least 6 times a day. But you should say it definitely in the morning when you wake up. Say the Our Father and say it the old way. My concern here is that this is only going to lead to more and more updates in the faith, in the prayers that we have received. It's true. The new translation, "Do not abandon us to temptation." Yeah, we don't want God to abandon us to temptation. I honestly kind of find this one a little bit more offensive, the new one. I don't. That's true as well. And that's why I don't want to, you know, run out with the word heresy here. But it's painful to pious ears. And I think what it signifies and what it represents is extremely dangerous. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas says we shouldn't change rules and laws that often, even if it's just to make it a little bit better, you know, make the rule 4% better, let's change it. Because what happens is you change things in the populace, Thomas Aquinas says, amongst the people, when you change things, it erodes confidence in the system. Let's be honest. 99. Whatever percent of Catholics, they're not Latin scholars and they're not Greek scholars, and that's fine. Christ says, come follow me, be my disciple. He doesn't say become a Latin scholar and become a Greek scholar. We're not people are called to that in their vocations. But your normal baptized person, that's not necessarily part of what it means to be a Christian. So we're not expected to dig down deep and into the Latin and the Greek and the Aramaic. But for most people who go to Mass, love the Lord, the more you change it, the more you tweak it, it makes people scratch their head and say, what's going on? Why is it different now? Is this whole thing arbitrary? Is the whole thing? I remember hearing a guy who he remembers when they got rid of, you couldn't eat meat. Traditionalist Catholics still don't eat meat on all Fridays unless there's a holy day on top of it. But he remembers when they said, well, you can start eating meat on Fridays if you substitute a penance for it. He remembers thinking, well, if Catholics, ever since the earliest days of the church, never ate meat on Friday, and the Eastern Orthodox still don't eat meat on Friday, and then the Pope just arbitrarily says, well, now you can't eat meat, just substitute something in. He goes, this kind of makes Catholicism feel arbitrary. And this man left Catholicism. Now, I don't think it's a good reason to leave Catholicism, but you can see that when you start to change things, it does make it feel arbitrary. And like I said, 99. whatever percent of people aren't going to be like, let me go and spend a day looking up the Latin and looking up the Greek and talking to a professor and all that. It's probably not going to happen. Instead, they're just going to be like, well, they changed the Mass and they got we used to be told, you know, you had to fast from midnight before you received the Eucharist. And they said 3 hours before the Eucharist. And they said 1 hour before the Eucharist. And they used to say it was only altar boys, but now they have altar boys and altar girls. And it used to be that only the priest could touch the host, but now Aunt Sally and Aunt Rachel are Eucharistic ministers. And, you know, and we used to always go to the rail and kneel, but now we stand in a line with our hands out. And you change these things. And people, their confidence in the system begins to erode. And you know what else erodes the confidence of the people? Abuse, lies, financial abuse, sexual abuse, all the things that have been going on. So why we have all these moral problems in the church? We have an infiltration in the church. People's confidence in the papacy, in the cardinals, in the bishops is already at an all-time low. Why keep changing more? It's just like throwing gasoline on the dumpster fire. Can we just have a little consistency? It's like we're spinning, you know, you're on an overpass and a car speeding and it's spinning towards the guardrails. And it's like, well, let's change the color on the hubcaps. You know, it's come on. We Catholics need something that we can stand on, to be based on. Constantly changing it just makes it feel even more like a complete arbitrary hodgepodge. So as for me and my house, we will say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you like this show, please hit the like button. Please share it. People need to know this stuff. Again, like I said, most people, they're not called to study Latin and Greek, but maybe this can give them a little clarity on it, especially if they get questions. Hey, why'd the Pope change the Lord's Prayer? Are we going to change it in English? Share this video with them. Maybe it'll help them get some clarity. Also, please subscribe if you're new. In the bottom right corner, there's a little button you can subscribe and hit the bell, and you'll be notified every time I go live. Pray the rosary every day. You know, one of the beauties of the rosary, not only are we praying the Hail Mary, we're praying the Our Father. It's a rhythm. It's a rhythm. It's hard to remember to pray. If you have those beads in your pocket, though, it's a reminder. And you get with Our Lady, who is the mother of Jesus. She says in John's Gospel, do whatever he, Jesus, tells you to do. She also says in Luke's Gospel, my soul magnifies the Lord. If you want to see God under a magnifying glass, Mary's soul, according to the Bible, is the magnifying glass. Her soul magnifies the Lord. Magnificat. So Our Lady will help you see Jesus. And the tool she gives you is the rosary. So pray the rosary every day or you're not on the team. Also, read the Bible every single day. At least one chapter. If you read about three chapters every day, you'll read the whole Bible in 1 year, which everybody who watches my podcast needs to read the Bible. This is God's word to you. He wrote this as a love letter to you. If you don't read it, you're leaving his love letter unopened in the envelope. Open the envelope and read the love letter. If you're a dad, maybe every night when you pray the rosary or on Sundays after Sunday brunch, after Mass, open the Bible and read a chapter to your family. I bet you it'll spark some really good conversations. And make sure you can find a traditional Latin Mass. Taylor, how do I find a traditional Latin Mass? Google, DuckDuckGo, search engine. Look up a Latin Mass directory. Put in your zip code. Ask friends. Find out. So many people said, I thought it was impossible to find a Latin Mass. And then I found one. There's one like 10 minutes from my house. I'm so glad I looked it up. I found it. They're going to the Latin Mass. It is a safe haven. It is a place of sanity and consistency. You don't need to go to Mass every Sunday and be ticked off and see liturgical abuse and see Eucharistic abuse and hear heresy and confuse your kids and confuse your spouse. You don't need any of that. You need a safe haven, a place where you're encouraged and a place where you encounter Jesus Christ on the cross and resurrected. So it's not just about Latin or being medieval or anything like that. It's about a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why I go to the Latin Mass. All right, we're going to close up here and we'll do the Hail Mary. I don't know the Hail Mary in Greek. So we're going to do the Hail Mary in Latin. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et ator mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Almighty God, we pray that you would not lead us into temptation. Be kind to us, be gentle to us, but please make us into saints as you have predestined us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in his name. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, friends, thanks so much for watching today. Please like and subscribe. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Christ is risen. Alleluia.